Open up in the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you humbled. We come before you wanting, not wanting for our needs, but wanting to learn, wanting to know you better, more intimately. Lord, I ask that you come upon all of us. Bring your Holy Spirit and allow us to learn more about you. Show us how to crack our hearts open and to give ourselves to you fully. Lord, we thank you for these opportunities. I thank you for each person that is in your house today. Lord, I ask that you put others who are in need of you, put it in their hearts to come into your house, to bring you into their life. Open up our minds. Allow us to understand what your message for today means. Open up our hearts to allow us to learn you, to become more like you, to allow our lives to exemplify your presence in it for the world to see. We thank you for this message, and we thank you for not giving up on us. The amount of times that we have turned away from you, the amount of times that we have failed and faltered, and we thank you for not walking away from us. We thank you for picking us up, carrying us, teaching us, loving us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand.
Jude 1, verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever.
To God be the glory, great things he has. And open the
John 10, verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him.
Hast thou not seen?
You can be seated.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome to our message today. Whether you are here for the first time, and if you are, there's a little card in front of you. Please fill out that card, put it in the back box, and that way I can contact you, and we can get to know each other a little better. Maybe we'll get some coffee. Ultimately, I want to get to know each and every person that comes into God's house on a personal level. Last week, we saw Jesus arriving into the throne room with a purpose. And what was that purpose? To take the scroll of destiny from God the Father's hand. It's sealed with seven seals. Now, Jesus didn't walk into that room with arrogance. He didn't enter like a WWE wrestler coming down a ramp with background music. He entered the throne room with humility. The title of today's message is, Worthy is the King. We're continuing in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. Today, we will continue exploring the vision of what is coming very soon in the heavenly throne room. Please stand for the reading of God's word. Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God, from every tribe, language, people, and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels surrounding the throne, and the living creatures and the elders. And their number was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the world and in the sea and all that is in them saying, To the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and might for all time. And the four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell and worshiped. You may be seated. This section of this chapter continues to describe the vision of the throne room itself. The scene is including the one who is sitting on heaven's throne, God the Father, the living creatures that are surrounding, the 24 elders, and countless numbers of angels. But what is the central figure? It's the Lion Lamb. It's Jesus. He is the one in heaven who surpasses all others. Great importance has been placed on the sealed scroll. Great importance was on the search for someone who is worthy to open it. And when the Lamb takes that sealed scroll, all of heaven is erupting in song of praise, song of worship. Not for the scroll, not for God the Father, but for the Lamb, Jesus. And then what do? They worship Him. Because He alone is worthy. He alone can accomplish humanity's redemption. And He alone fulfills the purpose for which man and this earth was created for. Verse number 8 begins the description of what happens in heaven when the Lamb, who alone is worthy and entitled, takes that scroll. After he takes it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders, what do? They fall before him. They fall down on their knees, each of them holding a harp and golden bowls filled with incense. What is in that incense? Prayer. It's the prayers of the saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 25 says, "And thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you." An exhilarating universal thrill courses through the hearts of the living when Jesus takes the scroll of destiny from God's hand, right hand. The worthiness of this Lamb ignites an outpouring of homage, praise, and worship. They fall down before him, adopting the usual posture of profound worship. Complete prostration on the ground. You might be asking, what is the significance of the objects that they are holding in their hands? Why a harp? What's up with the bowls? Psalm 49, verse 4. "I will incline my ear to a proverb. I will disclose my dark sayings on the harp." During Old Testament times, the harp had been an instrument of worship. Psalms are often sung with a harp accompanying it by the choirs of priests and the congregation. Prophets of old prophesied with them. The golden bowls were pan-like vessels that are used in the tabernacle and the temple. They were filled with the prescribed incense and, when ignited, emitted a pleasant aroma that they believed pleased God. The incense created a pleasant fragrance, and then the ascending smoke pointed towards their prayers. The prayers of the saints are rising to the Lord. Psalm chapter 141, verse 2. "Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice." You see, I'm not saying that we should be burning incense when we are praying, but we should be imagining our prayers going up to heaven as the smoke of incense rises up into the air. The prayers of the saints focus on the Lord's return to make things right in the world. How many times have we poured out those same prayers, asking for Jesus to return, or asking to bring peace upon this earth? Day after day, you can see the unrest. And I'm not just talking about inside of our own nation. I'm talking about worldwide. In Africa, there are Christians being murdered by the thousands every single week. There's unrest, no matter where you look. Every faithful Christian from every age of our faith has prayed. Such is the desire of all of God's people. Who else but God can count the countless volumes of prayers, the oceans of tears through those prayers? Who else but God is there to answer? But what if they don't get answered? Are they forgotten? No. None of those prayers have been lost. If a prayer has not been answered according to what you desire, it's not in God's will. Will it never be answered? I can't say that. If you're praying for God's will to occur, you'll see those prayers answered. God treasures all of your prayers in the golden bowls. These prayers are sacred incense offered to God and the Lamb. Sweet incense is used in the Old Testament, especially in the Holy of Holies, that sacred location inside the temple. Every day, fresh incense was burned on the altar before the inner veil, morning and night. Why? Because that was their offering, their prayers being offered. On earth, saints and their prayers are often overlooked. But in heaven, our prayers are always treasured. Why? Because we are connecting with the Holy Spirit. We are trusting in God. And God will always treasure that. And they are so treasured that they are brought into the very presence of God the Father Himself. Prayer meetings, they might not be attended very often, but our prayers are always attended by the Lord God Himself. Singing and prayers are vital elements of a Christian worship, both publicly and privately. You see, in Scripture, these two are always, well, I wouldn't say always, but they are very frequently linked together. Look at Psalm chapter 98, verse 4. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises. We might have rough voices. We might sing off key. But God doesn't care. Because it's through song and prayer that we express our love for the Almighty God the Father. He doesn't care if we're off key. He doesn't care if we're the wrong octave. He's not looking for a professional singer. He's looking for your heart. He's looking for your soul. And singing out loud, that's where He finds it. What about quiet moments with God, though? What about your public worship? Let them include both harp and the bowl. In other words, worship the Lord with singing and prayer out loud. A heart on fire begins with the spark of a song and prayer in worship. Once the scroll of destiny has been taken, those in heaven pay adoration to the one worthy to take it. Look at verse 9 of our text. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe, language, people, and nation. Psalm 149, verse 1. Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and His praise in the assembly of saints. The new song celebrates a fresh act of divine deliverance. Old things are passing away. New things are being proclaimed. Isaiah 42:9. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. The 24 elders and the living creatures raising a mighty anthem of praise to the Lamb of God for the glorious salvation that He has provided for all of humanity. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. Jesus says, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. The sacrificial death of Jesus Christ is consistently central in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He paid our price for us. The fact that Jesus was slain as a sacrifice proved His worthiness to open that scroll. Salvation is described as a ransom, a purchase. Now, this is a term that most people will think of slavery. No, it's redemption. Redemption was accomplished by paying a price. Christ has bought us for God. He has bought our freedom in God, making us His possession and offering freedom from sin and death. Because guess what? If you don't accept Jesus, you are a slave to sin. You are a slave to Satan. You are a slave to death. You're a slave to the evils, to the sufferings, of the troubles that earthly life gives. The cost of this purchase is Christ's blood. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. The blood of Jesus is valuable to all of us because it is through that blood of that lamb that we are redeemed. The song of the redeemed echoes around the world. It looks forward to fulfilling that great commission. God's message of salvation and the eternal life that He has given us is not limited to any specific culture, a group of people, or even a country. Every single tribe, every single language, every single person is called to participate in this. The power of that blood can redeem anybody. It doesn't matter what you have done in your life. You can be redeemed. It doesn't matter where you come from. You can be redeemed at any time. But you have got to give it up. You got to put yourself away. Stop focusing on the sins of this world and start focusing on Christ. It is open to anyone who turns to God in repentance. Repentance of what? Of the sins that they are committing. Of their lack of faith. Just accept Him as your Lord, your boss for your life. That's all you got to do. Don't let prejudices or biases stop you from sharing Christ with others. Jesus welcomes everyone into His kingdom as long as they turn to Him. In a world where many disagreements happen, it often results in division and strife. Church, brothers, sisters, you got to give that up. We have to strive for better. And what's that better? Unity. And peace. Revelation chapter 5 verse 9 says, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people. Why? For God. It doesn't matter who you are. Jesus went to the cross for you, to bring salvation to you. Our witness and our fellowship must go beyond barriers. It has to go beyond divisions. We can't divide ourselves. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are the body of Christ. We are not separate people. We are together in family. We are together as one. God wants us all to be united in Him. If you wish to be part of a division, then you need to go before God. And you need to let Him set you straight. Because anyone who seeks to divide His church is an agent of Satan. There's no other way around it. You're either on Team Jesus or you're on Team Satan. And Team Jesus will never divide. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief Satan does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Is Satan here dividing this family? No, he is not. But then again, we have been doing God's will. So maybe Satan is trying to get here to destroy this, to destroy what God has been building through attitudes and opinions. I can't answer if that's happening because I am completely dedicated to Team Jesus. And so I'm going to ask, are you? Jesus loves everyone. Do you show Jesus' love to everyone? An estimated 30 million people worldwide will die without Christ this year. Hundreds of millions of people around the world worship little g gods. That worldwide ratio of unbelievers compared to career missionaries is a staggering 66,000 people to one missionary. These are facts that we cannot ignore. There's a lot of work for us to do. And do we do it for ourselves? Do we do it to promote this building? No. We do it for God's kingdom. Look at verse 10 of our text. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. See, verse 10 is showing us the results of our redemption. The song of the redeemed praises Christ for them together, united. We are now capable and becoming more capable as the days go by of reconciling man to God. Even now, we have immediate access to God's presence so we can worship and he can intercede for us. Luke chapter 22, verses 29 and 30. Jesus says, "And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." May have been, or maybe we are still being mocked. Maybe we're being despised for our faith. It's going to happen because Jesus said it's going to happen. Because that happened to him. In the future, though, we're going to reign with him in heaven. His promises are about to be fulfilled in this vision for the future of this world. We're going to see proof that the crowns and the dignities and the rewards of heaven are not empty statements. They are the truth from God. Daniel chapter 7, verse 27, "Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." Worship God. Praise God for what he has done, what he is doing, and what he will do for those who trust in him for their lives. When we understand the glorious future waiting for us, we gain the strength to face our current challenges. Look at verses 11 and 12 of our text. The intense praise and worship is extended to include countless angels who are proclaiming that worship. The adoring response of worship spreads increasingly across the heavens. Notice the harmony. Notice the unity and spontaneous worship. It's heard as a united voice, not as separate people. Throughout the book of Revelation, John uses the word beheld or looked 44 times. And 27 other times, he uses the word heard. There's a reason for that. Millions upon millions, ten thousands of ten thousands. It amounts to more than 100 million of heavenly hosts present. 10,000 was the largest number that the ancient Greeks knew how to express. And it surely signifies more than this. Daniel chapter 7, verse 10. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened. The angels stand beyond the mystery of redemption. They acknowledge both the greatness of the Lord's sacrificial act and its everlasting effect. Look at verse 12. The countless angels are proclaiming, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth, wisdom, might, honor, glory, praise." Like the previous songs, this one also begins with worthy. He is worthy, not because of his power and majesty, but because he has attributed such greatness when he died for humanity. This countless hosts of heavenly bodies loudly proclaiming that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world is worthy of all exaltation. The multitude proclaims Jesus is worthy to receive these seven seals, which could also suggest that they lack nothing. Jesus is worthy to receive power. Power is repeated from Revelation 4:11. All the force of the universe flows not only from God Almighty, but also from the Lamb of God. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Jesus is worthy to receive wealth. Wealth in the Greek is plutos. It means riches, usually of the material kind. In ancient times, though, monarchs were brought rich gifts. The Queen of Sheba, for example, brought Solomon a lot. The Lamb is worthy to receive all the wealth of the universe. Jesus is worthy to receive wisdom. In Greek, the word wisdom is Sophia. It appears here for the first time in Revelation. In traditional Christian language, the Lamb is omniscient. Whatever wisdom his creatures possess, they attribute it to him. Jesus is worthy to receive strength. See, strength is closely linked to power. It can also be translated as might or capable, a capability. Consider the Old Testament character of Samson as the human example. You can look at Judges 14, chapters 14 through 16 for that. Whatever strength creatures possess comes from the Lamb of God, even if they don't recognize it. Jesus is worthy of receiving honor. Revelation 4:11. We just finished chapter 4 about 2 weeks ago. 4:11 means to value. In Ephesians 6:2, for instance, Paul admonished children to honor their parents. The Lamb is worthy of supreme value. We are to give that honor to him supremely. Jesus is worthy to receive glory. In the Greek, glory is the word doxa. It also includes the elders' earlier song. God was giving glory for who he is as the creator. In this text, the Lamb is given glory for what he has done as the redeemer. Mark chapter 11, verse 9. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is worthy to receive our praise. Elogia is the Greek word for praise. It appears for the first time right here also. The English word eulogy comes from that word, which often is translated as a blessing or an honor. It means to speak well of someone. The word is fitting as the final one in the series because the entire song can be summarized as a eulogy. Jesus is worthy to receive all power because he will never misuse it. He is deserving of all of the world's riches, for his riches are incorruptible. He is worthy of all wisdom because all true wisdom comes from him. He is deserving of all strength because he is the source of strength and power. How can mortal words truly express the deep adoration for such a great boss, for such a great Lord and Savior? Our most eloquent whispers or even our shouts absolutely will fall short in expressing the praise and the glory that is due of his name. Because he who is great has done great things, not for himself, but for all of humanity who has ever lived before, who was currently living, and who will ever live afterward. Our Lord is worthy of all of our days, all of our love, and the highest of praises that we can offer, because he died to take our sin and shame away from us. Look at verse 13 of our text. Every created thing appears. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to the one seated on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor, glory, might for all time. Once again, John's perspective is expanding. It expands to an ultra-wide lens view. This continuous song of joyful praises now is including all of creation, all of the countless forms of life, people from every nation praising God before his throne. But this time, John does not claim to see, but only to hear every creature in heaven and on earth and under the world and in the sea and all that is them singing together. Try to picture that. Try to imagine what that sounded like. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 to 11. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, of course, this refers to all intelligent life in the universe. Strictly speaking, this cannot occur until the final consummation. However, in many instances, John's vision is depicting future events that are going to come. So we should not be disturbed by this anticipation of the Son's universal worship. Scripture shows that the universal throne, the throne of all power that encompasses everything, belongs to both the Father and the Son. Heaven's host also worships them equally. Look at verse 14 of our text. Verse 14 is emphasizing the ongoing homage, even after the universal worship of the Lamb. The four living creatures kept saying, Amen. The elders bowed down and worshiped. The four living ones, the creatures, they're continuously affirming the praise and worship that had been offered to God the Father and the Lamb. They begin the chorus of praise. They are there throughout. The 24 leaders, again, are falling to the ground, pouring out their worship to Him, the One who is worthy. Jesus is worshipped because He is worthy to open the scrolls of mankind's destiny. And He alone is worthy to set into motion the events of the last days. So the Lamb's ability to open that scroll is because He opened the way of salvation for people. He provides the answer to our hopeless despair, and for those who have experienced His redemption will lift up their voice to Him in resounding praises. If Christ is this powerful and can solve the cosmic crisis of the ages, He can also resolve all the lesser crises that we face in this life. His solution to humanity's greatest crisis puts all other crises into real perspective. No matter what's going on in your life, it's not that bad. We all enjoy hearing somebody say, "Great job, I appreciate you." If several people tell us that we are doing something right, that's even more encouraging. How often does that happen, though? A coworker. How often do we go up and say, "I saw what you did, good job"? A family member. How many times have you gone to a family member and held them and said, "Thank you, good job, I appreciate you"? In conclusion, God also loves the praise of His people, and He truly deserves it. Our most important work on this earth is to exalt Him. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let me say that again, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus. It is our duty to honor and to worship, to love and exalt, and to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 through 13 describes a future day in heaven when believers from every tribe, every tongue, every people, every nation, they're going to bow before Him. Of those people who have been redeemed by Jesus' blood, because those people are going to surround His throne with praise and worship. All of the individuals multiplied over the centuries, they are all going to form an incredible congregation of God-glorifying people in heaven. Do you live your life knowing the worthy is the King? But that means Jesus for your life. God's greatness is so overwhelming, so unfathomable, and so indescribable that millions upon millions of people are all praising Him. They are all bowing before Him in worship. They will give Him the glory that He deserves. How can we be silent about the One who causes all of heaven to worship so wondrously? The One who is worthy to be your King. Even now, each of us can join in honoring God's majesty by glorifying Him with our lives. And then we will come together with people from every nation in that grand heavenly celebration. But today, we reflect on Christ's work on the cross, His power to fulfill all of God's purposes and promises, not just for the world, but for our lives. Let us join the chorus. Let us worship Him. Be loud and proud with your praises, with your songs. Let's start an eternal praise of God today to continue for the rest of our life. If you see Him as worthy, sing your praises as loud and proud. Nobody cares what you sound like. God doesn't care what you sound like. He just cares if your heart is there for Him. If you are singing His praises. If you're here today and you want to make Him your King, come forward. Set aside your pride. Put away your attitudes. Get rid of the worldly desires. Accept Jesus as your King. Put yourself aside and invite Christ into your daily life today. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.
Matthew 28, verse 18. Jesus spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth."
Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you for touching our hearts. And we ask that you guide our hearts. You guide our lives down the path of your will. Take our presence away from the equation and fill our life with you, your desires, your plan, and your purpose alone. Lord, I ask and I lift up each person, whether they are here in person or watching online, listening on the radio, cover them in your love. Raise them up from the depths that they may be in. Walk with them. Carry them. Be with each person through the love and compassion, through your grace and your mercy. Teach us how. how you want us to live for your ministry, not for our life, for your will. And we thank you for trusting that will with us, for entrusting your kingdom to us, but most importantly, for sacrificially giving your Son for us to worship and to praise and to honor. We thank you for your Son, Jesus, each and every day. And in his name, we all say,
Amen.
Have a blessed day.
Eddie Ho, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. Thank you for listening to this message. If you enjoyed this message, then come visit Alturas Baptist Church, located at 500 West 4th Street in Alturas, California, at 11 o'clock this morning for a brand new message that has been inspired by God. A relationship with Jesus is as easy as ABC. Visit our website at alturasbaptistchurch.com. There, you will find who we are, past sermons, giving to the ministry, and so much more. That's alturasbaptistchurch.com. Come back every Sunday morning at 7 o'clock for the next message, right here on KCFJ AM 570. If you want to check out video messages and devotionals on YouTube, then visit Living Like Christ Ministry 2023. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.